Book of Acts, chapter number 1. Also, I've got a good card here from Brother Scott Owens, whom our church just started supporting, going down to Fort Stockton, Texas. Says, "Dear church, thank you so much for entrusting us as one of your missionaries. What a blessing it was to hear that your church had taken us on for monthly support. And may God continue to bless your burden for missions, the Scott Owens family." And I talked with Scott about it, and I didn't want to say anything when I got the card, but he was really excited about the fact that y'all saw fit to take he and his family on as missionaries. And we do pray for them almost daily. And we look forward to what the Lord's going to do in the ministry there for Brother Scott and his family down in the Texas area. Last week we began to look in the book of Acts. Tonight we are going to spend some time repeating some things in the book of Acts. We are going to begin to study the book of Acts, probably not really in depth, but I'm going to scratch around in it quite a bit. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me." Now those first four verses comprise one sentence. And there are some points that we need to make about this, this first sentence that we see. First of all, the theme of this book. My Bible says it's the Acts of the Apostles. But personally, I believe that it's the Acts of the Apostles through the gift of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. No one could ever act on their own. I cannot preach on my own. A Sunday school teacher will not teach on their own. And these apostles cannot act on their own. This is the Acts of the Apostles as they were moved by the Holy Ghost through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, last week I'm sure that I made a statement about what my Bible says is about the book of Revelation. Turn there for just a second to the title page in your Bible about the book of Revelation. My Bible says, "The Revelation of St. John the Divine." But I do not believe that Revelation is the revelation of John. I believe it's the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John the Divine. So I kind of in pen put that in there. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, preacher, isn't that divine? These titles are not divinely inspired, y'all, okay? The titles are not divinely inspired. And I want you to know, I mean, first of all, the revelation, some people call it revelations. Some Bibles don't say to St. John the Divine. In fact, you can take the King James Bible. Some will say to St. John, some will say of Jesus Christ. A lot of them won't agree, but their words will agree in King James Version text. Amen? All right, back to the book of Acts. The theme then of this book is one where Jesus Christ is working after his ascension through the apostles. Now, the book of Acts is a bridge. If you took down near below the church, there's a bridge there. It's how you get across the creek, okay, from one side to the other, or across the river. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I could go through tonight and tell you what all four of them, the last recorded fact is in each of the books. The book of Acts is a bridge. It picks up all four of the last actions in the book of the Gospels and takes you to the book of Romans. If there's not the book of the Acts, you just go from the Gospels to Paul to the church in Rome. You'd say, how did Paul get saved? Where did he come from? The book of Acts will be the bridge that will take care of all those things. So the theme, my friend, is the theme is Jesus Christ, and the title is the Acts of the Apostles by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a word here in the very first verse. It's the word treatise. So you see, we're all starting all our words with T. There's theme, there's title, and then there's treatise. A treatise is nothing more than a dissertation
about a specific thought or a specific theme. And so he's naming here, there is a former treatise, what the writer says. In other words, this writer says, I have written another dissertation or another book. And we find that in the book of Luke, chapter number 1, a similar theme. Let's see it in the book of Luke, chapter number 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. The reason we know that Luke and Acts are the same writer, you see, we record in the book of Acts one named Theophilus. Here in the book of Luke, he's called the most excellent Theophilus. Okay, that's the next T word, Theophilus. Who is this man, Theophilus? Well, I believe he to be a Roman or a Gentile official in the government. But the word Theophilus means lover of God. Theo meaning God. Philos meaning lover of. Lover of God, Theophilus. So here Luke is writing this dissertation or this theme, the book of Luke, to Theophilus, to the lover of God. He's wanting to write to him to let him know with surety, with certainty, the things about Jesus Christ are true. My friend, the same thing is true in the book of Acts. He's writing to Theophilus to let him know the certainty of the things that happened after Jesus ascended into the heavens. In other words, we could take this book that's written to that one person and know that it is written to you and I, the believer. After all, his name is Lover of God. And certainly you and I do not qualify as a lover of God. My name may be Darren, it may not be Theophilus, but I am a lover of God. And so this book is written to us, go back to Acts 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, or O lover of God, of all that Jesus began, both to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive, after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The next key word we want to mention after the word theme, the word title, the word treatise, the word Theophilus, is the word truth. The Bible speaks of infallible truth. That means things that are definite, things that are sure, things that are beyond doubt, things that you could not question. He says there's infallible proof that Jesus Christ has been seen for 40 days after his resurrection. We want to spend a little time on these appearances of Christ after his resurrection. Now, we're going to be turning around through the Bible some, but I want you to go with me to the book of Mark, where we'll start. The book of Mark, chapter 16. We understand there are women after Jesus Christ has given his life, has been buried in the tomb. There are women that are bearing spices on their way to the tomb that they might anoint the body of Jesus. Amen? There they come. Now, my friend, I want you to know tonight that the first person to see Jesus alive was Mary Magdalene. She was by herself when she saw him. Mark 16, verse 9 says, now when Jesus, and if you wouldn't care to make notes, because it's important to know the appearances of Jesus in order, it's important to know this. Mark 16, 9. Now when Jesus was risen, early the first day of the week, he appeared first, there's our word, first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. Now go with me back here to the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. We're going to try to put these things in order. I will try to set an illustration here for you. I went through this little illustration quickly last week, and maybe it gave you some help on it. And there's some folks that might not have been here last Wednesday. Maybe in the WANA program, but I want to show this illustration to. We realize In the end of the Sabbath, verse 1, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said, Come to the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And as they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Stop right there. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary come to see the place where Jesus lay. No doubt there were other ladies coming just down the path behind them on their way to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. Amen? Two volunteers, I'll dress them if I have to. Brother Dennis, would you come here? Brother Jeff, would you come here as well? This is going to be Mary and Mary.
Oh, Mary.
They're on their way to anoint the body of Jesus. When they get there to the tomb, the stone has been rolled away. The angel of the Lord speaks to them and said, He's not here. He's risen. Go quickly and tell his disciples. So Mary and Mary begin to go back down the path, weeping, rejoicing, not sure of things going on. And here they begin to head back down the path. Travel with me. They go back down the path. There are other ladies that were coming behind them. They're going back down the path. All right. Their mission is to tell the disciples that Jesus is alive and well.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Y'all just get your Bibles in your hand, but just stay standing. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 20, I think, is what I want tonight. John chapter 20, verse 1, the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Well, wait a minute, preacher. You said that, Matthew said it was Mary and Mary. This only says there's Mary Magdalene. Which one of you boys wants to be Mary Magdalene? You be Mary Magdalene. Well, was she not there?
Yeah.
Well, it mentioned the other Mary. Does it have to? Is that a contradiction? One says Mary and Mary, and the other says Mary. Is that a contradiction? Still Mary. Amen. Stay with me now. Look at John chapter 20, verse 1. I want you to put your thinking cap on. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. That's John. Peter and John, that other disciple. So Mary, she goes and gets Peter and John. And they came, so they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lying. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. You see that? Peter and John come to that place, that empty tomb. They've gone home scratching their heads. All right. Mary and Mary. This is Mary Magdalene. Mary, you keep heading down that path. Mary Magdalene, she's went and got the disciples, and she's told them, and Peter and John come back to check. But the other Mary, she's going to run into those other women that's traveling just behind them. Okay? That's good, Mary. Stop right there. Mary Magdalene, she kind of doubles back. Peter and John's already left. Mary Magdalene comes back to the tomb a second time. This is the tomb over here. Come back over here. Just stop. John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in the white, the one at the head and the other at the feet. Let me ask you a question to stop. Has anybody seen Jesus yet? Mary's not seen him. Mary Magdalene's not seen him. Peter's not seen him. John's not seen him. The other ladies that are coming that way, they've not seen him. He's appeared to nobody yet. We read in Mark, the first person to see him is Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene will be the first person to see him. Keep reading here. Where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast brought him hither, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. The first person to see the resurrected Jesus was Mary Magdalene. She thought he was the gardener. But when he spoke to her and said, Mary, she said, Rabboni, which is interpreted, Master. She fell at his feet. Get down there. She fell at his feet, started to reach and touch him, and he said, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father and your Father and all these things. You know why she could not touch him? Because he had the blood and was on his way to glory, the mercy seat, to sprinkle the holy blood of the righteous one that you and I might have redemption and atonement. If she, as a sinner, had touched he that was holy in presentation, it might have polluted or corrupted that righteous holy blood. So Jesus said, Touch me not. And she did not touch him. And he ascended straightway into heaven and put the blood on the mercy seat. And guess what he did? He came right back. He came right back. You with me? Mary Magdalene, come up from that place. Go back over here. This is going to be some other ladies. Come this way, Mary. Come on. Mary Magdalene, you can be seated. For right now. Here comes Mary. She's this mother lady. Brother Mike, how about you helping us too? These other ladies coming to anoint the body. Back in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. This is appearance number two. These are these other ladies now. Okay? As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, All hail. Did they see Jesus, these ladies? Yes. And Jesus said to them, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Mary couldn't touch him. He was going to put the blood on the mercy seat. Now the rest of them, don't get down there, and they touch his feet. What's the difference? He had already put the blood on the mercy seat. The second appearance, he's done come back from the mercy seat. That's quit. Hallelujah. Redemption was accomplished for us. And right there and then, he appeared to these other girls on the path, on the trail, and said, All hail unto them. That is the second post-resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ during his 40 days between the resurrection and his ascension. He was on this earth 40 days, and this is still resurrection day. He's already appeared twice. Amen. Y'all can be seated. I think we've got that. Everybody got that? Nod at me if you got it. I got it, preacher. Not, we'll demonstrate it again. All right. Thirdly, in the book of Luke, chapter 24. While you're there, I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and just hold your hand in 1 Corinthians 15. The third person that Jesus appeared to, there was this fellow that had denied him three times. The angel said to the women, go tell his disciples and Peter. Didn't say in John, didn't say in Matthew, didn't say in somebody. They said and Peter. Why was Peter specifically mentioned? Because he had denied him three times. He felt like no longer one that had fellowship, but he felt like an outcast. He felt like a failure. You ever felt like a failure? It's a horrible place to be. Yet, he's willing and able to forgive us of all our sins and restore us in perfect fellowship. And Peter, a failure, the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly because of his sin. He was remorseful and sorry. And the disciples, hear me, the angel says, go tell the disciples and Peter. Now, Peter's also got another name. What's Peter's other name? Simon. Okay, look with me in verse 34. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared. Now, this is in Luke 24. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. This is his third appearance. He appeared to Simon Peter. How do you know? Well, there was two traveling on the Emmaus Road. Remember, Jesus was in company with them, but they didn't know him. After they had known him, this is the verse. When they got back to tell everybody, hey, the Lord's alive, they said, yeah, the disciples that were gathering up there said, yeah, we know. He's appeared to Simon. A one-on-one meeting with Simon. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 5, the Bible says that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Seen of Cephas. Cephas is another name for Peter. You're looking at me, though. Preacher, we just said his other name. His other name was Simon. John 1:42. Cephas means a stone. Now, it's all right, because when I preached this last week, I got the same look. I got people looking at me, wait a minute, Simon, Peter, Cephas, wait a minute. Cephas, I don't know. John 1:42. Well, let's read verse number 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. I want to say this. We need a few Andrews in this church. You know, every time I see Andrew in the Word of God, he's bringing somebody to Jesus. Every time. He's the one that went and got the lad among many. He's with the loaves and fishes. He said, there's a lad here. It was Andrew that brought him to Jesus. Hey, when the Greeks said we would see Jesus, it was Andrew that brought him to Jesus. In fact, here's Andrew again. This one named Andrew, he's Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Every time I see Andrew, he's bringing somebody, wasn't that a good message? He's bringing somebody to Jesus. Wouldn't it be good if you and I bring somebody to Jesus? I can't save them. I can't change your situation. And I can tell you about one who can.
Yeah.
Oh, Andrew said, let me tell you. Hey, let me just take you to him. Here's one who can. Listen to him and believe him. The Bible says he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The third person that Jesus appeared to, we're talking about truths now, infallible proofs, was Cephas, or Simon, or Peter. Now, there's a lot of people doubt the fact that Jesus got up physically from the dead, but he did.
Right.
Some people don't want to believe that and want to deny it, but these are infallible, invaluable proofs of his resurrection.
Amen.
Some people doubt there was a war. But I can tell you about this fact that there was a war. I can interview people for you that was in the war. They know about the war. You can refuse it all you want to, but it still happened.
Right.
You can refuse Jesus all you want to, but he's still Lord of Lords,
right,
to the King of Kings.
Right.
He still got up victory from death, from death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
Whether you believe it or not,
right,
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And he's all power.
Amen.
Number four, let's go back here and look up Luke chapter 24. The fourth appearance, there's a bunch of these, we're going to get them all. The fourth appearance in the book of Luke, chapter 24, is those ones on the Emmaus road. In Luke chapter number 24, verse number 13, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. You know, Jesus' death and his burial. And he's not risen yet. They don't think he's risen yet. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He is now risen from the dead, but they didn't know it. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? They said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and their rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have been redeemed, which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Well, hallelujah. It's still that first day, amen. Yea, and certain women, also of our company, made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, when they found not his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive, and certain of them which were ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and broke and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? They rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 together, and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how is known of them in the breaking of the bread. His trouble with them on this road all the way, and he showed himself to them. And as soon, my friend, as he left, they went back to the rest of the disciples and said, hey, we have seen the Lord. He was with us today as we traveled the highway. I'm glad, thank God, he's still with us. As we travel all our highway, the Lord's still with us, amen. They said, hey, we've seen him. And they said, yeah, we know. I mean, he's already appeared to Simon, and Simon's already seen him. That was the fourth time that Jesus was seen was there on the Emmaus Road. What about the book of John chapter 20? This very same evening, when these two came down the Emmaus Road and said, we've seen the Lord, and they said, yeah, we know, Simon's seen him too, but the rest of us ain't seen him yet. And John chapter 20, verse number 19, then the same day at evening, this is the Sunday evening that Jesus had resurrected from the dead that morning, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Amen. He walked right through those locked doors. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He's appeared number five to all of those disciples, except there's one that's not there. And it's besides Judas, who's went and hung himself. It's Thomas. He's not there. And then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. In other words, they said, boy, Thomas, you missed the greatest Sunday night service we've ever had. I mean, we was in there at locked doors. It was dead at a doornail, dead at a hammer. I mean, we tried to sing, couldn't sing. Tried to pray, couldn't pray. Tried to preach, couldn't preach. Seemed like we couldn't get no victory. And in the locked doors was Jesus. Yeah. And breathed on us. And the Holy Ghost. Sunday night service like that. Amen. Old Thomas here, he says, "Except I shall see in his hands between the nails, and put my finger in between the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." You say you had a good Sunday night service, I don't believe none of you boys. How many don't tell if I wasn't there? That's the way some people act. You know, you go tell them, "Hey, that's 23 got saved." On Sunday night, they look at you like you're crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Said, "Yeah, right. How about high dots? I have to see that one to believe it." Yeah, amen. Well, nonetheless, whether you liked it or not, 23 still got saved on that Sunday night. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and after 8 days, this is the sixth appearance. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, Thomas hadn't said a word now. All he does expressed his doubt 8 days ago to the rest of the disciples. Now this time, 8 days later, Thomas ain't said a word, but Jesus walked up to him and said, "Hey, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord, my God." He didn't have to touch him. He said, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed."
Right.
That's for you and me.
Amen. Right. Yeah.
I've not seen him
yet,
but I believe him.
Right. Amen.
He saved my sin sick soul. Hallelujah. I was never glad I didn't have to see him, but one day I will. Yeah. Amen. This was the sixth time Jesus was seen. It was by Thomas. The third time is in the book of John, chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Let's count them. Simon, Thomas, Nathanael, the two boys of Zebedee, and two other disciples. There are seven of them. Seven of them. Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go fishing." They say unto him, "We also go to sea." Now remember, these boys, most of them were fishermen before they got right. Lord Jesus called them to be disciples. And Jesus said, "I'm going to make you fishers of men. Not fishers of fish. I'm going to make you fishers of men." But now Jesus, he's not with them all the time like they thought he once was. And they're ready to go into their back to live in state.
Yeah.
You know, "Well, I'm going to retire and recline. And I'm going to kick back and relax a little bit." He said, "Boy, I'm going fishing. Not for men. I'm going fishing back out there and back to live out in the Sea of Tiberias again." And he said, "You know what your decision to backslide a little bit will be? We'll also go with you. You want to lay out on Sunday night and it's okay? Maybe a few more will lay out with you."
Right.
"Hey, maybe the preacher will just go with you. The next time you say, 'Hey, I'm just going to take off to the lake and fish a little bit and lay out of church,' maybe I'll do the same thing."
Bless you, Lord.
"Well, wait a minute, preacher. Somebody's got to preach." Yeah, well, somebody's got to be here to listen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen. "Hey, I think I'm going to Walmart. Wait a minute. The preacher's going to go with you." No, no, no. You've got to be preaching.
No.
Somebody's got to be here to hear and pray. Amen. Old Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." The rest of them said, "We're going with you, Simon." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Imagine that. These great fishermen fished all night, didn't catch a thing. You know why? It's backsliding. When you backslide, you ain't going to do no good.
Right.
Everything's going to go wrong. Your pocket's going to have holes in them. Your change is going to run out. And you can't figure out why your wife's mad at you and the cat meowed at you when you walk up. And you feel like kicking the dog two times when you're back to live. I'm telling you, nothing makes sense. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. He went, listen, he had power to be out there on the sea with them. He could have got the boat with them.
Right.
He wasn't getting the boat that back to live crowd. He said, "I'm waiting on the shore for y'all to come home." Amen?
Right.
Hey, the prodigal son's daddy. Hey, he could have went down the hog rock and got that boy, but he's not one that boy to come home.
Right, right.
You read the Bible what it says. Jesus told the disciples, "You're not with Jesus." Then said Jesus unto them, "Children, have you any meat?" They answered him, "No, we ain't got no meat." He said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." They cast therefore And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. I mean, they fished like this fellow told the fish. So now my life, but they could have said, we've done this all night. We cleaned it and ain't going to find no more. But they throw it. And it drew in so many fishes that they couldn't even draw it in. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it's no more. He's the only one that can have that kind of power to throw your net in and get that many fish. It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. I told you his back slid. He is naked. Yep. What about a bunch of naked disciples going backsliding out there on the Sea of Tiberias? Boy, you better watch how you dress. You might enter into a backslid state real quick. But don't you preach on the clothes by the main preacher. Well, why do you think Jesus, the Bible says, for he was naked, he did cast himself into the sea. Why do you think he jumped in the water? Oh, he was just trying to get to where Jesus was. Oh, no. He's trying to hide. He's ashamed. Yeah. He jumped in the water so nobody sees. Because he didn't have nothing on. I mean, I'm telling you, how you running around town, run down here, do this, go down there and wait. Wouldn't you want to be seen with your preacher? And what if a rapture would come? And when they listen, you want, when they find that scantily clothes when there, they'll think, how in the world did they make? Hello. Preacher, I thought you were going to preach on the resurrection. I didn't know you were going to get on this stuff. Everywhere it's in the Bible. He jumped into the sea, and I remind you about the sea. The sea is where our sins are thrown into. At the bottom of the sea, where the oysters are, where the trash and the scavengers live. That's where old Peter jumped into. You know why? Because he is in sin.
Right.
How about God will get sin? Oh, you might jump, but it won't be your business to correct you.
Right.
It'll be the business of Jesus to straighten that bird out.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
The Bible says the other disciples came in a little ship. For they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus already had breakfast cooked for him. He had warm bread. Glory to God, they had like bread. But this is heavenly manna from above.
Amen.
Jesus had, and he got some fish already laid out there. And look what he said. Jesus said, let's bring the fish which you now caught. See, you bring your fishes up here too. You know, listen, Jesus, he could go out, and he don't have to do anything to have people come and get saved. But he decided to let choose the funds of the preaching to save them which believe.
Right.
He said, you just go preach to them a little bit. You present your fish, and watch what I do to them. Hey, you just go ahead and cast the hook in. Jesus just wants you and I to be part. He wants, he don't have to have us, but he wants us to feel part to encourage us.
Right.
Says, you bring the fishes which you've caught. They wouldn't have caught nothing, it wouldn't be for him. He's throwing the casting out on the right side, and I believe he even told the fish that we're riding the net so they could pull him up into the boat.
Yeah.
He's in charge of all the outfit, amen. Yeah. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. He's got amazing. Most time fishermen, when they present their catch, they weigh. And said we have 6,000 pounds or 12 pounds. Ain't got to weigh some of those yet. Usually, if you're going to tell me about a fish that you've been caught, wouldn't you tell me how big it was? It was 23 inches, and it weighed 6 pounds. They said, I have to do it. How'd you do that, Jeff? I caught one. Most of y'all think, oh, it's a big deal. But what the one he caught was 6 foot long and 2,000 pounds. My Bible says didn't measure by how big they were, didn't measure by how much they weighed, said a number of them, 153. And did you know, in the Sea of Tiberias, there were, over how many are, 153 different types of fish. How many did he catch? I wonder if he caught one of each kind. You see, the gospel net, when you preach Jesus, he don't pull black, white, yellow, green, or blue.
Right.
He says, all people of all nations can come unto me.
Right.
No one know I've cast them out.
Amen.
He's the Savior of all people. Hallelujah. Not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's able to save them all.
Right.
My Bible says, for all there are so many, yet was not the net broken. Hey, the gospel net won't break. It can save all men. Jesus said unto them, come and die. And none of his disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and gives to them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus said himself to his disciples. First, wait a minute, that's the third time, that's right, to his disciples.
Right.
Some of these other times he showed himself to the ladies.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yep.
All right. Preacher, how far we gone? Through 7. How about number 8? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I am trying to hurry. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Preacher, you proved your point. Skip it. No. I ain't proved it good enough. I want to prove it until the devil knows I proved it. Amen?
Right.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 6. The eighth appearance. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. The eighth time he appeared was unto 500 at one time. This thing wasn't done in a corner somewhere in secret. That's 500 seen at one time up on the mountainside there. What about number 9? Look at the next one. After that, he was seen of James. That's the ninth appearance. Was unto James. Then of all the apostles. That's the tenth time. And we read about it last week. Go back with me to Acts chapter 1. When the rest of the disciples see him, the tenth time he appeared. Verse 9, Acts 1. When he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven." His only disciples stood up there and saw him ascending. That was the tenth time he was seen. What about this very same time, look at Matthew, where he gave them the Great Commission? I'll give you some scriptures. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. The book of Luke, chapter 24, 50 through 53. This is the 10th time that Jesus appeared to his disciples. That's all the Bible proves, but I want to go just a little bit further. What about the book of Acts, chapter number 7? I just want you to know that Jesus, right there, after 40 days, he ascended into heaven. That was the 10th time he had been seen. The 10th time he had been seen. He went into heaven. And I want to know right now, he is on the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
He is there right now. He is there. He will be right there until a time when his father says, "Son, go get my children and bring them home." While he's sitting at the right hand of God, Acts chapter 7, verse number 54, there's a man named Stephen. He had prayed for that crowd. And they got mad at him. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, every other time we read there in Hebrews, my Bible says, he sat down. He was sitting on the right hand of God, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He sat down to say, "It's finished. There's nothing else remains to be done." But when Stephen saw him, he was standing. You know why? He was going to receive him in the glory. It's a welcome home. Let me say something to y'all. Something I've always admired, and let's just speak of it in basketball terms, because I like basketball. There's some teams, they like the Carolina Tarheels. When their coach gets ready into the game for somebody that's on the floor, as that player on the floor comes out of the game, the rest of the team that sits on the bench, y'all stand there. When he comes back to the bench, the whole bench stands up to welcome home the warrior that's been out on the court. And he'll come and do high fives and say, "Yeah, man, you did good or bad," and then they all sit down together.
Yeah, right.
That's the way they welcome home. In the army, they do similar things. When there's a warrior, they welcome him home by standing at attention
and give him welcome.
Right. I want to say to you, I realize those are weak, weak descriptions. But when Stephen, the man of God, was to be welcomed home, Jesus stood up to give him welcome. The great warrior of the man of God, Stephen, saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Well, that made them so mad. My friend, they started stoning. They cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran up on him with one accord. They cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down, called a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Can you imagine that, being stoned to death? I mean, things go wrong in your life when you say, hey, God, sick them. Go get them. Run them down, run them over. Just get them out of my way. Not Stephen. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. How will they be tied? Where I got fried or hurt by some situation or some person. I had to work to love them. It didn't make me feel like jumping around happy. I've hurt. I wanted to get down on with them. God, you know, go get them. Let righteousness prevail. God said, no. You need to pray for them. Won't you love the enemy? There's been times I've been riding up down through Spruce Pine. God said, I want you to pull up this road and into this driveway. Now, don't you pray. Now I hope you're not sitting here about saying, wait a minute, I'm going to preach in my driveway. God said, I want you to pray right here. And I'm going to tell you what's made all this in the world. Lord, let all this into their charge. That's the 11th time that Jesus was saw. What about Acts chapter 9? And the old man named Saul, you know, they've laid the garments, their coats down at his feet, and he held them while he went and stoned to death. What about old Saul? Old Saul had letters to persecute the church. He was running down the church, thought he was doing the right thing, bringing threats and slaughters against the disciples. And the Bible says in verse number 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying behind him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That's what the voice said it to him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I believe old Saul seen the Lord. That's a great light. That's the glory of God. Amen. And old Saul just said, he trembled his son and said, Lord, what will thou have him do? Now, some of these new things in the Bible take that statement out, call him Lord right there. And if you ain't calling him Lord, you ain't saved.
Right.
He called him Lord out there. What wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. What about Acts chapter number 22? Another appearance he made in the pond. It's number 12. He appears unto Saul there on the Damascus Road. And in Acts 22, he appears to him here in verse number 17. It came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And saw him saying unto me, make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Jesus appeared to him in a trance. Oh, preacher, I think that's a vision. Well, you think what you want to, but Paul saw the Lord. That's the 11th appearance. And last of all, in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, of St. John the Divine, chapter 1, verse number 10. Old John was down the Isle of Patmos. He'd been banished out there for preaching. They hated him. But by then he got out there, and he could have got the poof lip and said, what now? I mean, the people I love, they've been taken out of my life. I think I'm just going to quit. I mean, he didn't climb up the tree and try to hang himself. He didn't go try to run his head all blown into a palm tree and kill himself. He said, everybody's left me. Everybody's turned against me. I'm sitting here on an island. What am I going to do? He said, Lord, how can I serve you? Even though I'm just by myself.
Amen.
I don't know what got you to man. I don't know what you to been out of take about. But you're in a whole lot better position today than John was out on the Isle of Patmos.
Yeah, right.
The Bible says in verse 10, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He didn't say I had the poof lip on the Lord's day. Things wasn't going my way. That's how they bowled me and all. They sent me out here, and the prison walls is the ocean. Ain't got nobody to talk to. The rabbits won't even listen to me. The monkeys in the tree don't have nothing to do with me. Coconuts are falling, about to kill me, and I'm afraid I'm going to get in a hurricane and drown. Not John. He said, I got the spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard a voice. I heard him behind me, a great voice, as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, what thou seest write in the book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven gold candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment, down to the foot, girded about the path with a golden girdle. His head and his hands were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as flame of fire. That's a whole lot different than these pictures most of you see about Jesus. That's the thing, these pictures, nobody knows what Jesus really looks like. Oh, John saw him. Nobody can see his eyes were black or blue. I saw his eyes were flame of fire. Here's a judgment of God. His hair, well, everybody else sees him with brown hair, wavy black hair. Oh no, my Bible says his hair was white like wool. Hey, he's eternal, amen.
Right.
He's ancient of days. Always has been, always will be. His feet like in the fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace. You know why? Because he's still in the fire. When we get in trouble, he's there for us, amen. His feet as the merchant of fine brass, as if they burn in the fire. His voice was the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Now his mouth was a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his street. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You do the same thing, friend.
That's right.
He laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Fear not. I'm the first and the last.
Right.
I'm he that liveth and was dead.
Right.
And behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. "And have the keys of hell and death." How many of y'all gonna go home in a few minutes? You got the keys? Wait a minute. My wife got my keys. I got keys in my own house. My wife got them. Wait a minute. You ain't going around. You got keys in your house. Ain't that amazing? But the devil ain't got keys in his own place. Hell's his own. Jesus said, "I've got the keys of hell and of death. And write these things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Let me say to you tonight, Jesus is alive, alive and well forevermore. We see then some infallible proof. I didn't get nowhere near done, but we see some infallible proof. 10 times he appeared before, as he was ascending into heaven. He's appeared at least 14 times that we've seen, that we know of. 14 times! Don't you let some theological, diluted devil tell you that Jesus didn't bodily get up from the grave. Oh, you know, he was a spirit. Oh, no, they didn't see a spirit. I was the one Thomas could have handled me.
Right.
He walked through the rock bars, yet he sat down there feasting honeycomb with him. Jesus got up, victorious over death, and the grave, in the flesh with the body, for the glorified God. Death will never have a hold on him again. And because he lives, one day you and I are going to live like right now. We've already got that power. But I want you to know we're going to have a glorified body like he is. I'm trying to quit. Y'all stand with me tonight. I got all these other notes. I'm going to get on. Father, we thank you for the word of God, for the many infallible proofs of our Lord's resurrection from the dead. Hell, the old grave has been defeated. Father, I'm thankful tonight that Jesus has the keys to it all. Pray, God, your touches help us know these special truths. For it's in Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. Good night. God bless you. Thank you for coming. We'll see you on Sunday.